Okay, today is the 17th of January, 2010. It's Sunday evening, and we're going to be doing a message tonight entitled
Dawning of a New Age.
Dawning of a New Age. Recently, I was listening to a message by a rank Arminian. I'm not going to mention his name, but I wanted to hear what he had to say about some current events. Why did I want to hear what he had to say? Because what I found by listening to Arminians, there is such a vast difference between an Arminian perspective and a sovereign grace perspective. Even though Arminians say God is sovereign, they, by their own mouth, oftentimes reveal that they really don't believe it. Okay. Now, we know all the conspirational views of history. We know that there's all of these orders in place. We know of the New World Order. We know George Bush spoke of the New World Order. We know that the Illuminati is evil, wicked, filthy organization that is bloodthirsty for power. But we need to remember that God has said that He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. I sometimes think we have to remind ourselves that there's the dawning of the new age, when the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven prepared as a bride for us, for His elect. That's going to be the true dawning of the new age. So many people are talking about the dawning of the new age. I know back when I was a kid, the song was the age of the Aquarius. Dawning of the age of the Aquarius. Age of Aquarius.
Crystal Blue Persuasion.
There was all kinds of songs that were around that whole concept, wasn't there? And, you know, man has always sought to put himself in the place of God. That's what Satan tried to do. And we know what it got Satan, and we know what it's going to get men that try to do that. Now in Micah, the 7th chapter, which is the last chapter in Micah,
you can remind me real quick.
Yeah. There's a real interesting passage of scripture here. Now, I think it's really interesting because here the church is complaining of their small number. And I've often thought about, is there anyone left here that's not involved in this new age world church ecumenical environment? And also that it's just full of corruption and
chapter.
It has an effect, the 7th chapter. It has an effect on your own confidence. But what we have to do is we have to realize we can't have our confidence cannot be in man and man-centered organizations and systems. Our confidence has to be in God. And the fact is the church is going to be triumphant. And this is what the 7th chapter of Micah is all about. And I think we should read through this chapter, Mark. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit.
The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net.
Doesn't that sound familiar? The times that we're living in right now. That they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire. So they wrap it up.
Best of them is as a briar, Most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Thou shalt be their perplexity.
Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom.
For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, man's enemies are the men of his own house.
Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. I'll tell you, this is so prophetic as to what's going on right now in our day and time. And Micah's affirmation that he's looking to the Lord.
Verse 8.
And he says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemies. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me.
I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness.
You know, when we see the righteousness of Jesus Christ, it puts a whole new light on things, doesn't it? It shows us our own utter depravity. It shows us our own... People talk about the dawning of a new age. There's no new age. Things are as they've always been. Men are still born and conceived in sin. Men are still totally depraved. Men are still in need of a Savior. But here, Micah says that he beholds the righteousness, and not his own righteousness, but his righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If we have any righteousness at all, it is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Verse 10.
Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her, which said unto me, where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets.
This whole concept of the dawning of the new age, the age of enlightenment, you know, this was also prevalent during the Renaissance period. You know, history repeats itself, but yet in that final hour, when this world church, and I believe that not only the ecumenical church and the Roman Catholic church and the charismatic church and the Arminian church is all going to be a part of it, but here's what it says in verse 11, in that day that thy walls are to be built, in that day shall the decree be far removed.
In that day also he shall come even to thee from Assyria, from the fortified cities and from the fortress, even to the river and from sea to sea and from mountain to mountain.
Notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them that dwell therein, for the fruit of their doings. People, don't think about the fact that they are going to reap what they sow. You know, if you sow to the whirlwind, you're going to reap a whirlwind. And we just saw a hurricane in Haiti, in the Port-au-Prince, Haiti, that killed over 100,000 people. A bunch of voodoo worshippers over there. Verse 14.
Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwells solitarily in the wood in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old.
That's the way we feel like right around here in Weatherby. We feel like we're dwelling solitarily in the woods. The woods of Weatherby, okay? We don't see a lot of people around here that believe in the sovereignty of God, especially in sovereign grace. 15 says, according to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things.
Nations shall see and be confounded in all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth, their ears shall be deaf.
They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of thee. You know, there's coming a day, and Revelation tells us that they are going to flee to the rocks and the mountains, and they're going to cry for them to fall upon them. And they are going to be in awesome fear of God. Verse 18.
He who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy.
What an absolute comfort for God's elect who have been recipients of God's grace. We are not deserving of anything other than damnation, a total separation from God. But he has regenerated our hearts and placed within us his Holy Spirit and given us faith to believe in his Son and the precious blood of Christ atones for us. It says, he will turn again, he will have compassion on us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all our sins in the depths of the sea. That's a great comfort too, to know that he didn't just take some of our sins, he cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. And who was it that he did that for? Well, he said he did it for the remnant of his heritage. Okay, verse 20.
Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old.
So people are talking about this dawning of the new age. A lot of these people are talking about or dreaming about that are into this postmodernism and this postmillennialism and this whole thing that the world's going to get better and better and better. It's not going to happen until we see that Jerusalem coming down out of heaven prepared as a bride. And it says that we will be forever with the Lord. I'm glad to know that we don't have to trust in the dawning of the new age here. We don't have to trust in the dawning of the age of Aquarius here. All of these Blavatsky and these new age people and the people that have been involved in such wickedness over the years, even the founding fathers of our country, George Washington being a Mason and taking the oath of office in full Masonic garb, and Patrick Henry being a Mason, and John Adams and Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson. We don't have to worry about the fact that this new world order is gaining more and more power. We have to realize that God is sovereign over all of this evil. God is sovereign over Obama. God is sovereign over the nations. He's sovereign over Palestinians, and he's sovereign over Israel. He's sovereign over the United States, and he's sovereign over the UK. He's sovereign over Germany and Russia and China and Japan and Korea and Iran and Ireland. All of those nations, he's sovereign over them. He's the one that created this world. And for God's remnant, we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. We are the remnant of his heritage if we are in him. And so there's comfort in knowing that all of these people that have propagated this new world order are going to fall. They are like puppets on a string. And God is using them to hold the enemies in derision, and he's going to laugh at them and hold them in derision, and he's going to cause their own sins to come down upon their heads. And it's not going to be the dawning of a new age. It's going to be all of a sudden, it's going to dawn on them how their sins have brought them down to the pit. You know, Satan fell and brought a third of the angels with him. And the Bible tells us that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And now the devil is trying to bring as many people with him to hell as he can. Now the only people he's going to bring to hell are those who have not been recipients of the sovereign grace of God. Thank God for sovereign grace. Thank God for his unmerited favor. Thank God for his unconditional love. Excuse me. Thank God for the fact that he shed his precious blood on Calvary. And the day star has dawned in our hearts. He is the day star for all of the elect. And that we don't have to worry about all of this stuff going on. We shouldn't hide our heads in the sand. We shouldn't deny that it's going on. But we should be more preoccupied with our relationship with Jesus Christ than our preoccupation with the end time events. Now, Christ did say, when you see all these things begin to happen, lift up your head, your redemption
draweth nigh.
Draweth nigh. Comfort one another with these things. Scripture also says that he's going to hold them, says that he's going to that he's going to send them strong delusion that they will believe what?
A lie.
A lie. What is the lie? The lie is the dawning of the new age. That's the lie. The lie is you can do something to save yourself. The lie is Arminianism. The lie is the New World Order. The lie is the Roman Catholic Church. The lie is charismata. The lie is free will. That's what it is. But the truth is, Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. The truth is that he has reserved 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. The truth is, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. The truth is, the foundation of God stands assured. He knows who are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The truth is, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. I recently got an email from someone condemning me for my position against Billy Graham and against the World Ecumenical Church and so on. He was trying to propagate the ecumenical movement by the sheer thing that, you know, every denomination has its quirks and, you know, nobody's perfect and all of that argument. And how that Paul said, let that person go ahead and preach if they're preaching the gospel. The problem is, these people aren't preaching the gospel. These people are preaching another gospel, and Paul said, let them be anathema or be accursed twice. It's a big difference there. Well, folks, the dawning of a new age. There is only one true dawning of a new age. And we've read it before. The true eternal life. When does eternity begin and mortality end? You know, that's a good question. When does eternity begin and mortality end? I think it's wonderful when we realize that we have been given the greatest dawning of the new age that anyone could ever have. Do you ever think about that? Nobody has been given a greater gift than God's elect. Nobody. And, you know, the dawning of the new age, the river of life, the river of the water of life. And, you know, I think that sometimes people forget this earth is going to be burned up. Van Impe says this earth isn't going to be burned up. It's not going to ever be destroyed. But the Bible says it will. And if you go to the 21st chapter of Revelation, we see what happens after the earth is burned up. And we see what happens with the elect. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea.
And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
The dawning of a new age. Not only the dawning of a new age, the dawning of the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, folks. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. The former things are passed away."
Wow. That's the dawning of the new age I want to be involved in. "For he sat upon the throne, and behold, I make all things new." New. "And he said to me, write, for these things, words, are true and faithful.
And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst to the fountain of the water of life freely.
He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my people." Now, here's what's happening to those.
He shall be my son.
He shall be my son. Now, here's what's happening to those that are promoting the new age.
"But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death."
Father, we pray that you would take this message about the true dawning of the new age and use it for your glory, we pray in Christ's name.